Good morning, and welcome to our daily edition of The Zelda Show, a sprinkling of music, news, interviews, and general chit-chat. Find out more about the Jewish world here and in Israel in a unique and easy manner. Your host and producer, Zelda.
Come fly, El Al, and your spirit will climb ever higher as your heart takes wing. And with the birds it sings, a song of joyous praise. El Al is the airline of Israel that calls for you with open arms. Come fly, El Al, come fly.
Good morning, and how are you this morning? Nice to be back with you. It is another very nice day coming up. Hopefully it won't rain, but it may. Anyway, let's go to news first and foremost in Arut Sheva.
This is Israel National Radio, the only independent news talk network in the Middle East. With news every half hour, on the half hour. Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
Education Ministry officials continue to warn that the teachers' union's persistent resistance to implementing Dovrat Commission reforms will result in the dismissal of 4,500 teachers beginning after this year's Passover holiday. While the government views the wide sweeping reforms as a given, teachers' union leaders remain adamantly opposed, refusing to cooperate and insisting any attempt to force new realities upon them will result in strike actions. Histadrut National Labor Union official Leon Morozovsky has announced that if local government employees do not receive their salaries for March ahead of the Passover holiday, a strike may result. His statement came in response to a threat made by Adi Eldar, head of the Union of Local Authorities, who announced that local government employees may not be paid before the week-long Passover holiday if banks do not lift their credit embargo on local governments. Morozovsky adds that if Eldar's warning is actualized, he will turn to the labor union's leaders in the hope of obtaining their backing to declare a work dispute. Declaring a work dispute begins the countdown timer for a 14-day period, following which a labor strike may be launched. United Nations Mideast Envoy Terje Larsen has expressed concerns over possible instability in Lebanon as Syrian forces leave the area. Some Israeli analysts are already predicting that the vacuum created by the Syrian troop withdrawal will result in the Lebanese terror group Hezbollah taking additional control, adding the situation for Israel will worsen in the absence of Syrian occupation forces. Four Arabs have been injured by security guards responding to stone-throwing attacks near Beit Aryeh, a number of kilometers from the Rantis checkpoint between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. Two of the victims are reported in moderate to serious condition and two lightly wounded. According to information from authorities operating at the scene, the Arabs began throwing rocks at Israel's big fence construction workers and security guards, leading to the gunfire. The army has declared the Abraham Avinu Jewish neighborhood in Hebron, south of Jerusalem, a closed military zone following skirmishes between security forces and Jewish residents over the erection of a security barrier next to a neighboring Arab house being rebuilt. The Jewish residents object to the past and future occupants' ties to terror, which go back to the 1929 massacre of Hebron Jews. The army agrees, but the house, which was Jewish-owned before 1929, is being rebuilt under the orders of Israel's Supreme Court. Senior Israeli and PLO commanders in Hebron meeting after a physical confrontation between their troops. PLO forces were in a part of the city deemed off-limits to them. They failed to comply with orders to leave. Central District Commander Major General Yair Naveh has asked former Chief Rabbi Avraham Kahana Shapira to tone down his rhetoric in an effort to lower tension surrounding the Gaza disengagement plan. Rabbi Shapira, who heads the Merkaz Harav Yeshiva, stands at the helm of opposition to the disengagement plan, calling on soldiers, officers, and police to refuse orders to forcibly remove Jews from their homes in the land of Israel, be that in the Gaza Strip or the Jenin area. Naveh, a Sabbath observant Jew, is a former student of the yeshiva. Six rings of security forces will be put around each of the two concentrations of Jews in the Gaza Strip as part of their expulsion under Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's disengagement plan. The police will form the inner ring, with the army providing the outer rings. The Forum of Government Directors General, headed by the Director General of the Prime Minister's Office, Ilan Cohen, has met with people who were uprooted from their homes in Yamit. Residents of Moshav Ein HaBasor, evicted from their homes in 1982, met with the government officials, seeking to bring them to an understanding about the lessons to be learned from the Sinai expulsion, including the psychological ramifications of being uprooted from their homes by the government of Israel. Prime Minister Sharon is to visit the Gush Katif area tomorrow for a first-hand look at the situation. He is then expected to make a final decision regarding the planned relocation of the Jewish communities in Gaza to the Nitzanim Dunes area between Ashdod and Ashkelon. In 10 days, he will meet for a second time with representatives of Gush Katif communities. In a meeting to unveil the Nitzanim plan, Sharon said the decision is, in his words, on your backs, but he explained he did what is necessary, in his words again, to save as much of the land of Israel as possible. Anita Tucker has been called the grandmother of Gush Katif, and while they plan to uproot her, she continues to plant. Listen to her on the Eli Stetz and Yishai Fleischer show on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com.
Joining us now is Dr. Daniel Radd, a graduate in medicine and surgery from Rome, Italy, specializing in permanent allergy elimination and negative emotional release. Dr. Radd is also a researcher in alternative medicine. If you're suffering from food and environmental allergy reaction or have negative emotional issues, call Tuesday or Thursday, 416-269-0151, or Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, 416-535-8034. Hi, Dr. Radd. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Zelda. Good morning, everybody. I'm fine.
Okay, we're going to see you in our studio tomorrow. We're looking forward to that. I just want to ask you this one question.
Yes.
When is it the right time to come and see you? What would give a person an opportunity to say, Dr. Radd can be of help to me?
When?
Like what? In what instance? If they, what type of illness? What type of problems? If they've exhausted every opportunity to see?
Oh, I got it.
Okay.
So, I believe patient or person shouldn't wait until get worse and get more complications and get chronic sickness. In other words, let the system or body organs get multiple sickness or worse conditions, because we can solve any problem when it's simple, easily. But when it's complicated, it's difficult, and it takes longer time. It's not impossible, but will take longer time. I know that I was talking to a patient of mine this morning. I was telling that, you know, people, they come in with tons of problems, with complications of disease and sickness and allergies, immune system deficiency and so on. And they expect quick fix. Right away, feel better. In overnight, get better, back to normal. After 10 years or after 5 years or 15 years being sick. So, which is impossible, cannot happen. Because if they would get better in that 5 to 10 years, they could be and they would be. But that means if a person is suffering from sickness over and over and getting more other sickness, disease, symptoms, syndromes, every new day much more than the day before. So therefore that means there is no cure for this person, for this disease. Plus, it's getting more complication and more health problems day by day. So when they come to me or they go to NAET or other type of alternative treatment or practitioners, they want to get cured right away. But it's not reasonable. I cannot get it. Being so, everybody want to get better so fast, quickly, but they have to understand that when they come to me with Crohn's disease, with ulcerative colitis, with celiac disease, with severe food reaction toward nutrients, food, or environmental factors for 15 years, 25 years, it takes time to me to program system again, to make it not to react to.
Well, I understand that. I just thought we'd give people an understanding of what it is, when it was the case to go to you.
This is, you know, anytime we say there is tell says that anytime you catch fish is fresh.
Okay, that sounds
interesting. Doesn't matter, night, morning, noon, after 10 years, 5 years, even if it's old fish, is fresh. You know what I mean?
Right.
So anytime you can take care of yourself and make yourself healthy and do not aggravate your health condition and do not plan open negative gaze to get more sick and many other sicknesses. So it's better to do that right away. Why we have to wait?
That's true, but there's, you know, lots of people think that they can find another way And then at the very end, or when things are pretty serious, that's when they realize...
They have right to do so, because the body is their own body. They can decide what to do. But most of them, they have experience with this. Trying new therapies didn't help and didn't help. So therefore, deeping in AT won't help as well. So, but they come when after 3 years to see. I have a patient came to me 3 years ago, for example, just for consultation examination, and I remember said that, no, this treatment is not for me. Goes and comes back after 3 years with more complications in wheelchair. You know what I mean? So you say, what happened? Okay, during the last 3 years, I did all researches. Even I went through to Mexico, I went to Texas, I went to whatever, and I got this type of treatments, but nothing helped me, so I'm back in Toronto to see you.
Right.
But I say, okay, it's not late. I mean, anytime we can do it, we can do,
right,
as I say. But you know how much you suffered, how many damages you made toward your body?
All right, well then, come and see Dr. Radin when you first find the problem. Dr. Rad, we'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll see you Thursday.
Great.
Have
Thank
a great
you.
Day. Bye.
Dr. Daniel Rad will return tomorrow morning with more information on allergy elimination and other complementary methods. Dr. Rad is located at two convenient locations, 2753 Eglinton Avenue East, Suite 202, telephone 416-269-0151, or 800 Bathurst Street, Suite 205, telephone 416-535-8034.
The Mitzvah Moment with Rabbi Mendel Kaplan is proudly made possible by the Unity Referral Network, URN, bringing Jews together in business and pleasure. For business referrals, visit our website at www.unityreferralnetwork.com. We'll be right back. Everyone deserves a great vacation, and Gil Yafet of YYZ Travel, with 15 years of travel experience, can make it all a reality. Gil has so many exciting packages to choose from. Sail the beautiful Carnival Cruise Line for winter break, or spend the holidays in Israel. Gila will take care of all the details and leave the good times to you. Gila Yafet, 905-660-7000, extension 320, or email Gila at yyztravel.com. Good morning, Rabbi Kaplan.
Good morning, Zelda. In the Jewish calendar, there are two seasons of renewal. The first is what we will call the month of Tishrei, the high holidays, the Sukkot festival. And the second, or possibly the more important one, is the month of Nisan, the holiday of Passover that we're soon entering into. And the question is, which is more important? Or which virtue is greater? You see, in the month of Tishrei, it is we whom need to reach out to God, and He who reciprocates. We spend the month of Elul in introspection, we blow the shofar, we do tshuva, we reach out to God, and subsequently we believe God reaches out to us in return. In the month of Nisan, however, our sages tell us, God reaches out to us. He doesn't wait for us to initiate, just as He took us out of Mitzrayim in days of old. The Exodus was initiated by the Almighty and was not necessarily something that we deserved or earned. So too, every year in the month of Nisan, God reaches out to us and initiates the relationship, gives us His blessings and inspiration. You know, we're in a relationship with God. And in the relationship with God, there are many parallels with relationships that we have with our friends and our family. Entering into the month of Nisan at the time of spring, we need to take our cue from God. He initiates, God reaches out to us, and we follow. We should be doing the same in our relationships. Don't always stand on ceremony. We don't need to wait for somebody to come and ask us to do them a favor, or we don't necessarily need to expect somebody to initiate the first step in rejuvenating a relationship. The Jewish message for the month of Nisan and the spring renewal season is to reach out to others, to share the blessings that God has given you, and by doing so, to create happiness in the environment around you. May we all have a happy and a kosher renewal season, and a wonderful Yom Tov of Pesach, Emir Tzashem.
The Mitzvah Moment with Rabbi Mendel Kaplan will return next time, brought to you by the Unity Referral Network. For business referrals, visit us at www.unityreferralnetwork.com. Qualicare, the solution-focused healthcare approach with Andrea Nathanson. For more information, please call 416-628-7449 or log on to www.qualicare.ca. After our message, Andrea Nathanson. Qualicare is a family-owned and operated healthcare company offering support and guidance to people challenged by aging or complex issues. Our professional leaders are registered nurses trained and experienced with both medical and social skills and are focused on providing the highest level of personal quality care. Qualicare is on the job day and night, helping you and your loved ones. With the specialized care you deserve, log into our website for more information, www.qualicare.ca, or give us a call at 416-628-7449. Hi, Andrea. How are you this morning?
Very good. Thank you. You?
I'm well. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
What is new at Qualicare that you will share with us?
Oh, there's always things that are new. But today I just thought that I might just speak about some of the fee-for-service offerings that we have. So a lot of people approach me and they say to me, you know, do we have to have the whole package or can we just call you for, like, some advice? Or so that's a very common question that we get. And I think it's important to let listeners know that there are many different fee-for-service offerings that we have. So people can call us up for, and I'm sort of going to list them sort of slowly so that people can hear them, and if it pertains to you, you can call, or even if you have a question. But we do step in and just do a crisis management situation where somebody's in crisis and they just need us to help them through that process. We will research treatment options for people. So we, you know, somebody might tell us that they've been presented with a treatment option and they just want us to explore it, and that would be on a how much time it takes basis. We take people to doctor's appointments or to hospital visits, and sometimes what happens in these situations is we meet with the person in advance just to get an idea of what it is we're trying to focus on. And then we accompany them to the appointment and sit with them and list off the different issues that we have to discuss with the doctor or with the person that we're there to see. We help people to find the right retirement homes. So if they're living independently and it's time that they'd like to move to a new type of living situation, we explore those options with them. And we actually go ahead and do the entire moves if they want us to. We help with hospital discharge planning. So when people are coming home, and I've spoken about this many weeks, where it's one of the most valuable services we do is getting involved when people are coming home and helping to advocate for what they can get from the government and then supplementing with our own services or other services that they might need. We do some guidance and counseling for families who are going through a crisis or difficult challenges with aging, and we spend a lot of time on the phone with not only our clients, but really the patient, the loved one, and the family, because everybody is experiencing something with the challenge, and everybody's lives have multiple things going on, so they affect everybody differently. And so each person needs their own special attention. So we do that for families, and we get equipment for people if they need it. And, of course, we provide all of the types of services that they might need.
And also the emotional requirements that are necessary to help that client and the family?
Of course. Well, that's a given. And also working with the caregivers. You know, I think I should also add we do a beautiful palliative care service where we look after people until end of life at their homes, and we have to work very, very closely with the family, with the physicians, and primarily with the caregivers who are in there having to cope and adjust to, you know, very sad situations at times, and trying to find the brighter way to look at it and to recognize their value in allowing somebody to die with dignity at home. And that's something that I'm very proud of, that we do. Not every company takes people to end of life, but we do, and we do it in a beautiful way. And, you know, there really isn't anything that we won't touch on. If it's not something that we feel comfortable being involved in, we will guide somebody to where we feel that they could get the proper advice. But we try to be there for people. We try to understand that their crisis, their challenge is very important, and that no question is wrong, no feeling is wrong, and nobody really can tell another person how to feel or act when their family member is ill, or a friend. Sometimes it's a friend. You know, that
well, I think that, you know, QualiCare has special special ways of helping people, and I thank you very much for sharing all of that information, and I appreciate hearing from you. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks.
Andrea Nathanson.
Okay. Bye-bye.
QualiCare, the solution-focused healthcare approach with Andrea Nathanson, will return next week. For more information, please call 416-628-7449 or log on to www.qualicare.ca.
Okay, this is our B'nai B'rith Report, and Joseph Ben-Ami is with us this morning. Joseph, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Zelda, how are you this
morning?
I'm
fine. Thanks for joining us. Okay. You know, yesterday I discussed this, and it's back here again in the newspaper about a Henneke telling Judge Juice to blame for World War II. And the lawyer says you stand by your comments. I mean, what is this all about? How could anybody in their right mind make a statement like this when 6 million Jews were slaughtered? I don't understand.
Well, you know, ignorance knows new knows no boundaries. David Ahenekew is frankly an ignorant man. Clearly filled with hate, in my personal view, but very much an ignorant man. And you know what's really so disturbing about the David Ahenekew issue is that this man still is a member of the Order of Canada, that he has not been stripped of his Order of Canada. And you know, We have made public calls for him to be stripped of his Order of Canada at B'nai B'rith, and representatives from the government have said that they believe that we ought to be awaiting the outcome of this particular criminal trial before making a decision. I ask you, is that the standard that we're supposed to adhere to for this prestigious position in this country, for this honor? Is that if you're not a criminal, then you should still qualify? It's absolutely ridiculous.
Joseph, there have been many people in this community who have received Order of Canada's who did not deserve it. And so I have no idea what the criteria is. Mr. Arafat got a Pulitzer Prize or whatever. Nobel Peace Prize. And that was not rescinded at all. So what are our standards here?
Well, obviously very low. But I will tell you this. If I was a member of the Order of Canada, it would have taken me exactly 15 seconds to send it back and to resign. Knowing what I know about David Ahenekew and knowing that he continues to be a member.
Are you a member of this association?
Oh, well, not only am I not, but I suspect that I'm not on the short list either.
Okay, well, then that's probably one of the reasons why, because of your, you know, your intelligence and you knowing right from wrong. The report released, well, it was released yesterday, and I heard it on the air by Canada's Auditor General, Sheila Fraser, reflects the ongoing concerns of B'nai B'rith Canada and everybody else that not enough is being done to fight terrorism here in Canada, I'm assuming, and we now will be needing a passport to enter the United States.
Very soon.
Probably rightly so, because so many Canadian passports have been falsely used for, you know, the wrong reasons. So, of course, they would change, you know, the way they do things.
Sure. Yeah, this is not a surprise. Even with the Auditor General, she's mentioned in the past a number of lapses with passports and with security issues. Kind of a funny thing for the Auditor General to be dealing with, quite frankly, but you know, when she does do these audits, they're very informative and helpful. The big question, of course, is what is the government going to do about this? I'm not sure that they really grasp the gravity of the situation. You know, one of the wonderful things between Canada and the United States over the years has been our open border, and Canadians being able to cross the border without a passport and Americans going in the other direction. You know, the Europeans now don't need passports to cross between between various countries in the European Union. And they emulated the example of Canada and the United States. Now we're finding ourselves going backwards in time in this area. Very disturbing and...
Well, rightly so. We have not tightened up our borders. We are not aware of who lives here, where here, and anybody can get through in a very easy fashion. So
sure.
You can't really blame them at all. They're just—they're trying to keep everybody safe.
I don't blame them at all. And you know, particularly in our community, this is going to have a practical impact because so many members of our own community travel regularly across the border for meeting friends and family. I just came back from the United States. I was at a wedding on Sunday and Monday. So it's moving back and forth with ease is a very big issue.
Well, for our
community as well.
Do we deserve it? And apparently at this time we don't. Maybe things will change if things improve. Let me ask you about this question, okay? Remember when Sharon said the destiny of Netzarayim was the destiny of Tel Aviv? Now he's saying that Hebron is a strategic asset, and that worries the Jews living in Hebron. What does that mean to you when you hear that?
When I hear the Prime Minister Sharon saying that Hebron is a strategic asset, I suppose I could be cynical and say that that probably means that he's preparing to drop the other shoe and say that it's going to be one of those areas that's going to be unilaterally disengaged from.
Right. I'd laugh if it wasn't so scary.
Let me just tell you one thing about these communities. You know what, we've been on talked about how they're not, I hate the term settlement, these are Jewish communities, they're towns and villages. Sure, there are transient settlements, there's no question about that. But for the most part, they're real small cities, towns, villages with schools, playgrounds, apartment buildings, etc. But you know, something else that people have to remember is that many of these communities are not new communities that were established post-1967, but they are actually returning Jewish communities that were destroyed pre-1948 and during the 1948 war. Hebron, of course, was a very vibrant, lively Jewish community for centuries before it was decimated during the riots and pogroms in the 1920s and early 30s. So the Jews who live in Hebron did not just settle there in 1967.